Let's discuss this further now with Andrew King from the Property Investors Federation. You heard him in that package from Tom Furley there. And Kate Day from Renters United is also with us. Good morning to both of you.
Yeah, good morning.
If I could start, let's just go through some of these changes that are being proposed here and see what your thoughts are, both of you. Firstly, ending no-cause terminations, the ability of a landlord just to terminate a tenancy for no reason. Andrew King, why would a landlord want to retain that clause?
Because you're not actually terminating it for no reason. There's no stated reason, but there is always a reason why you're doing it. They're not actually used that often. They're used in fairly difficult cases where you can't actually, you need to end the tenancy, but you haven't got enough proof to be able to go to the tribunal to have them make that kind of award. So we're talking about something like if a tenant has antisocial behaviour and it's affecting other neighbours or other tenants in the block of flats or something like that, then often those neighbours and tenants, they don't feel confident to put something in writing to say what's going on that you can then use as evidence. They're worried about retaliation from the poor-performing tenant. And so you haven't got that evidence. And without evidence...
So you haven't got enough evidence and you just evict them anyway?
No. Well, yes. In this case, you can use the 90-day notice to be able to get rid of that tenant for their antisocial behaviour to protect other tenants and neighbours.
Well, that surely should be in the residential, in the tenancy agreement, shouldn't it? And if you're worried about that, it should be in there. I mean, doesn't someone have the right to know?
No, guys, okay. It already is. That's part of the Residential Tenancies Act that they're not allowed to do it. The problem is getting the proof that they are actually doing it. That's where the problem lies. I've actually had this myself. I've had a case of it. The only time I've ever given a 90-day notice was when one of my tenants in a block of flats was having parties in common areas and upsetting children. One of the other tenants told them to cut it out and was threatened. The other three tenants then came to me and said, we would like you to evict those people, but they wouldn't give me a letter saying what was going on because they were fearful of that other tenant. So I gave them a 90-day notice to help the other three tenants. They're still there. That was 2.5 years ago.
Kate Day?
Yeah, so that's a really minority issue. Most of the time, 90-day notices are just issued when a landlord wants to get a tenant out for any number of reasons. And so we have tenants right now who genuinely fear being made homeless because they could be issued a 90-day notice or even a 42-day notice, you know, any day, and they're going to be looking for a place. We've heard from renters who, you know, keep their stuff in boxes because they just expect that they're going to have to move on soon.
And under this clause, Kate, well, under these proposals, the government is looking to increase the amount of notice that has to be given from the current minimum of 42 out to 90. Would that make much difference?
Yeah, so that's a small step in the right direction. But the really significant proposal is to end no-fault evictions altogether, which means that it just limits the options, or limits the circumstances in which, the landlord can evict people from their home.
Andrew, what's wrong with giving 90 days rather than 42?
At the moment, if you buy a house, usually there's a one-month settlement after it goes unconditional. At the moment, if it's an investment property, it has to be 6 weeks. So there's already a bit of an impediment there. If it was increased to 90 days, it's very unlikely that people would want to buy an investment property as a home. They wouldn't want to wait that 3 months. So it would devalue the properties. It's not as easy and clear-cut as you first think.
Yeah, it's a two-way relationship, though, isn't it? And don't you think tenant... Yeah, doesn't a tenant deserve at least 90 days to look for another place? It can be pretty traumatic, especially with children.
Yes, look, agreed. It is a traumatic thing, and that's why we're looking at things like security of tenure. We're thinking about, or working with some tenant groups, to look at ways that we can improve security of tenure for tenants, because it is when it's being sold that the problem does come up.
Yeah, you say that, but you're then opposing extending it out to 90 days. So how does that help us?
Because going from 42 to 90 days is too hard. It impacts on the value of that property. But what we are looking at is setting up a new tenancy type which is for people who want that long-term security of tenure, but it doesn't take away the rights of the property owner. And I'm sure there's going to be some common ground in there, because there are some tenants who want that long-term security of tenure, but most tenants actually prefer to have the ability to give 3 weeks' notice. They prefer that flexibility.
Let's look at
Kate, quickly. We'd love to see the tenants retain that. But just be able to stay on, keep their children in the local school, put down roots in their communities, and we're excited about these proposed changes that will move towards that.
And Kate, could I start with you on this one, the final one I wanted to look at, which was the rent increases and limiting those to once a year. What are your thoughts about the value of that proposal?
Yeah, so I mean, we support that. What we want to see is more transparency around rent rises, and we're actually more excited about the proposal to have a formula for rent increases to be included in the tenancy agreement, so that everyone knows upfront, how those increases are going to be calculated. And that standard practice in many contracts, for instance, in commercial tenancies, just provides everyone with surety.
Well, that's an interesting idea, isn't it, Andrew? That you would actually have to say why you were increasing the rent, whether it was CPI or costs or improvements to the property, rather than just because you felt like it.
Yeah, it is interesting, actually. And in fact, we're split on that. Some people think it's a bad idea because if the costs go up and they need to increase the rental price to cover that, then they're not allowed to do it until they have to wait a year before they actually do it. But others are saying that at the moment, a lot of people who are owner managers, they actually don't increase the rent until the tenant leaves. So it could be 3 or 4 years before the rent actually goes up and they keep it down. What they're thinking is, when you've got a formula and an expectation that it's going to happen once a year, it'll make it easier for them to actually increase the rents more frequently than they are at the moment. So, yeah, it could go either way, actually.
Thanks very much for your time, both of you. Andrew King there, and also speaking to Kate Day. Andrew King, of course, with the Property Investors Federation. Kate Day with Renters United, an advocacy group for renters.